This program is brought to you by MyTech1 and by Entelix.
The content, information, and opinions expressed during the related show are those of the show personalities and guest alone, and not those of Vic Kanellis Media Group, its parent, affiliates, or stations. VCMG Live is not responsible for any content, information, or opinions expressed. User bears full responsibility for their reliance on such content, information, or opinions.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. And the goal of our program is to provide community leaders here in South Florida a voice on how they are helping the community in a digital, hybrid, in-person world. We also want to educate the local community on how these community leaders and associated organizations are working with people in our area. We want to be the connective tissue with the South Florida industry to encourage collaboration, foster relationships, and improve fundraising and grant opportunities. We hope to create a more vibrant community so all businesses in South Florida can thrive. Thank you for joining us.
Introducing a new partnership between MyFlare Alert and the South Florida Institute on Aging, a dedicated nonprofit organization to provide a connected, independent living solution for seniors and their caregivers. This collaboration marks the beginning of a broader initiative to bring dependable safety tools to communities everywhere, empowering seniors to live independently with confidence and support. MyFlare Alert provides seniors with a simple, reliable way to remain closely connected to family, friends, and caregivers. Independent living no longer means being alone. It means having support exactly when it's needed, all at the touch of a button. This partnership with Sophia is the first step in building a network of safer, more connected communities. Together, MyFlare Alert and Sophia are leading the way in enhancing independent living for seniors, ensuring that help is always close by for those who need it.
Good day, everybody. My name is Glenn Benjamin. I am doing a special broadcast today with the CEO of the South Florida Institute on Aging, Sophia for short. Krisha Reed, and again, Krisha's the CEO. We're doing something a little bit out of the ordinary. I don't normally do the speaking, but this is a really important organization that, truth be told, that I'm a board member of, and we have some initiatives within Sophia that I want Krisha to try to guide us and tell us what's going on. So first and foremost, Krisha, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thrilled to have you. Like I said, she is the CEO and the Sophia, the South Florida Institute on Aging. I'll stick with Sophia going forward. Does a tremendous amount of work here in the community when it comes to supporting seniors. I've been involved with Sophia, helping them for probably about 4 years, which is how Krisha and I originally met. And in talking to Krisha just now, besides that she is the current CEO, she had started off almost 8 years ago helping run their foster grandparent program. Can't even say it. And then got promoted to VP. And is it 3 years ago today as we record this, you became CEO?
3 years ago today.
So rock on. Here we go. CEO, right. So thank you for what you do in the community. So let me go ahead and ask some questions to kind of get this thing rolling and set the stage for so people understand what Sophia does, as many people will be interested to hear more about it. So, Krisha, the easy question, tell me about the mission and vision of Sophia. And I think you've all been around like 55 years, so I'm actually older than you all are, which is amazing.
Yes.
All right. Tell us a little bit how this all got started. I know you weren't around then. But kind of tell us the founding mission.
Sophia has been around since 1970. Our mission really focuses on a holistic approach to improve economic stability and social insights and community services that empower people to thrive as they age. So economics, social, community, that's our focus. And our vision is really to connect, enhance, and change lives through volunteerism. So we utilize anyone that is 55 plus to provide services to the community. So that could be through working with at-risk youth at childcare centers and elementary schools to provide companionship services to isolated older adults, respite to caregivers, supporting veterans and military families at the VA clinics, teaching technology to older adults, so learning how to use their devices, whether it's a computer, a laptop, a phone, a tablet. That's what we teach. And then we also have volunteers that are deployed in community centers. So if you see them helping with congregate meals, food pantry, you know, helping facilitate programming anywhere they can fit in, that's what our volunteers do. So the first program that actually started the organization was the foster grandparent program. And so for anyone that's familiar with AmeriCorps seniors, that is one of their programs where we, again, focus on individuals that are 55 plus to go into the schools and work one-on-one with students. So our program, we go into the schools, we're going to child care centers nationally. There are some programs that are in hospitals or in juvenile detention centers. But for us, you know, our partnership has been through the Broward County School District, really focusing on individuals that's from zero to fifth grade, you know, really working on those young kids that need academic support as well as social and emotional development. So our volunteers act as like the classroom grandma. And then, you know, carries over into our other programs. So all of our volunteers really are out there in the community serving like 25 hours a week or more, providing all those services that I mentioned before. So it really helps to decrease social isolation for the volunteer as well as the individual being served, helping to maintain independence, helping to provide social support, which we all need. Those are the things that we really focus on, but you know, there's other benefits depending on the program in terms of increasing their skills, you know, for the tech services program. Also health benefits, so increasing their cognitive development, you know, decreasing falls, those type of things we're looking at for our program. So we do a whole lot of stuff.
And it sounds like you've said this message before. You did that really well. So thank you. That's a mouthful. I think what would help people that are listening, you know, you have a success story or two off the top of your head where, you know, you've shown someone or a group how to be successful in this. Do you have one of those? One or two?
Yes. So specifically for our foster grandparent program, we have two schools that are like our rock stars. We love all of our schools, but you know, the feedback that we have gotten from Martin Luther King Jr. Montessori Academy, we have a volunteer named Roberta Hightower. She has been there for, I'm pretty sure, over 10 years. And she was already volunteering in the program and then kind of got convinced to join in our foster grandparent program. So she's worked with hundreds of students throughout the years, provided so many hours of service. Really, what the comments that I've gotten from schools is that having them placed, especially in kindergarten, first grade, second and third grade classrooms, really provides that foundation for success, because that's what they're really looking at, is making sure that by the time they get to third grade, they're on reading level. So that has been a success for Roberta Bloom. I keep saying Roberta Bloom, Roberta Hightower. Roberta Blue must be thinking about me. She is actually another foster grandparent too, but Roberta Hightower really has been highlighted a lot at that school. We also have another volunteer for our senior companion program, Willie Brockington. He was matched with his client since 2019, who also is named Willie. So it was like a match made in heaven. They both share the same name, you know. He got connected to our program and they've been together ever since. Being able to share the same name and have similar history and background has been impactful because, you know, they have a caregiver in the home, a family member. And you know how that is when you're taking care of a family member. You have to think about covering all of the bills, including housing, utility, and whatever additional health care that they may need, as well as taking care of themselves. So having our companion in the home has really been beneficial. To Willie, you know, he has a friend, an additional friend that can also watch over him, be incorporated in the care plan of his life, being able to do activities with him, taking up the slack where his caregiver or other family members are not able to. It really is a relief to the family. just like, okay, we're doing 5 hours and then that's it. But then also long-term impacts of having the volunteers in the program.
Wow. I mean, you know, I'm a board member and I'm learning. This is pretty good, right? I just throw something out and you've got wonderful responses. So you talked about a couple great volunteers. You know, how do people volunteer? Tell us a little bit about that process, if you wouldn't mind.
So the process is usually in terms of recruitment, word of mouth is one of the ways that we get volunteers is through other volunteers. But then, of course, you know, us being involved in community presentations, community events. So people either see us and call us or they get referred to us and call us. And the application process is pretty easy. We usually do like a phone assessment or an assessment right then and there if we see you in person to kind of gauge what program you're interested in and then determine, you know, what your income level is. Obviously, you have to meet an age requirement. Like I've been reiterating, 55 plus. The income requirement is only just to make sure you're eligible for a stipend. You don't have to get a stipend. One of the good things about the program, all of our programs, it's a dual benefit. You can get a stipend. If you meet the income requirement, it could be up to $300 a month, which I know everybody would love to have, especially in these times. Having that extra cash is helpful. Of course, background checks we have to do, and then we do 20 hours of training. So giving you information that's related to the clients that you're serving, what it means to be a volunteer, what does it look like in terms of documentation, where you would be placed, the types of community partners that we have, all of that good stuff we do in order to have someone participate in the program.
Wow. Again, another...
So very thorough.
Very thorough. And you have to be, right, in these days and times. You know, you're helping seniors, but we've got to make sure we're putting the right people in place. We can't have any slip ups. That makes perfect sense. So in terms of caregivers and families as well, how else do you support that? And by the way, what as you were talking about the youth, you know, you say South Florida Institute on Aging, but you're helping the youth at the same time. So it's kind of strange. I knew your original name, which I think was Impact Broward, if I remember that right. So back then I knew you were at least helping the youth, but this, you're really helping two sets of generations here.
Yeah. I mean, we're helping the whole entire family. I think when people think about aging, they only think about people that are just 65 plus and even sometimes even older, depending on how you feel about yourself. But really, we're all aging since you're born. So we are helping from zero until 99. That's literally we're running the gamut of who we're helping in our services. So specific to caregivers, in terms of the support, obviously, that our volunteers play in being in the home, we also have case management. So we have a case manager that does the initial intake, does an assessment to see what your home environment is like, what your cognitive skills are like, your health, you know, nutrition, any other community resources, and we try to connect you with a community partner that can provide that service. And not just like, oh, here's a referral, but really we have a contact at specific agencies where we can give them that information for that client, making sure that they make that connection and get that service and do follow-up. So that's really, really important because, of course, with our volunteer being in the home, they're our eyes. So they can see what's happening, what's going on, in addition to the case manager doing their assessment. And I would, like I said in the beginning, in terms of our mission, it's wraparound services. So our volunteer is really involved in the care plan of the client that they're serving. So if there is a home health aide, if there is a nurse, if there is an occupational therapist, we really encourage the client and the families to make sure that our volunteer is abreast, because they're the ones that are working with the client to remind them like, hey, you know, let's do these exercises together, or let's do this walk together. Let's take this medication. Let me help you prepare some, you know, a sandwich or a meal. Let's do some of these activities that you need to do to keep, you know, your body functioning. That is their role. They really are integrated into the household dynamic, and they're with them for as long as they need to be, sometimes for life. So it really is a very in-depth program.
Are you allowed to say some of this, the other healthcare agencies you partner with as part of this? I don't know if you're under non-disclosure.
Yes.
Give me a shout out. Go ahead.
So we partner obviously with Holy Cross Hospital is one of our biggest and longstanding community partner that we have worked with over the years. We have some newer home healthcare agencies that we also partner with, like Wisdom Care is a newer one that we've partnered with recently. We also work with Heart to Heart with another organization that also utilizes volunteers to support older adults and their family. We have about 100 MOUs in order to support the people that we serve. So we have a lot of different people that we with, but those are a few that, you know, I find near and dear to my heart that we have been working with over the years and even recently.
Okay. And for those who don't know, MOU, Memorandum of
Understanding. So we have agreements with a lot of different organizations.
Yeah.
I
live in technology. We're in acronym hell, trust me. When I do a lot of my stuff, I got to be careful when I spell that out. How I met you all, I'm going to go backwards just a little bit, was actually it was about 5 years ago now that I think about it, when you all were trying to do your annual symposium or gala, big fundraising, right? And COVID had just hit. I was doing some virtual fundraising. I was helping. And you, I think you were vice president at that point. And somebody reached out to me. I don't know. Help. Our event is in like a week or 2 weeks, something like that. And we can't do it live. And I kind of like you're seeing here today, we did it virtual. It was an 8-hour session. So I had lots of bowls of fruit and other things here with me to try to get through an 8-hour day. I did request that you all put some music in as a break because nobody could sit at that point in front of virtual for 8 hours. We had a lot of fun, but tell us, I mean, how did you help seniors at that point? Because they couldn't leave. They were stuck in their homes. And that was the big transition, which I still think helps support seniors today that simply can't get out or people can't visit. That's a long-winded question, but that's how I learned. I got introduced now 5 years ago to you.
Yeah. So technology obviously really was important at that time in order for us to connect and maintain relationships with our volunteers and our clients. So the good thing about it, our tech services program had already started in 2018. So then when the pandemic happened, it was like, okay, let's reach into our community partners and figure out how we can transition at that time 500 volunteers to tech. So literally calling all of our volunteers, getting them to download Zoom, then developing a curriculum with like Cyber Seniors was one of the agencies that we work with to develop a curriculum to teach them how to use Zoom, how to use Microsoft Office Teams. That was the first step was to train them on using that because that's what everybody was kind of using. I know people were using different things, but those are the two main things that we use, getting them to use that and then coming up with innovative programming. At that time, I was a board member for it's now called AmeriCorps Seniors Professional Network. So we're all over the U.S. and the territory. So we came up with alternative service plans and recommended that to AmeriCorps seniors, and they took that on. So we were able to have like Reading with Grandma, which was online. We had grandmas reading books and we posted on our YouTube channel. Then we had After School with Grandma. So the kids could come online after school and do activities with the grandmas. Of course, we had our tech services classes that we transitioned all into virtual classes in English and in Spanish. And then we had volunteers that also provide telephone insurance calls to their clients in addition to us distributing tablets. That was one of the biggest things that we also had to do. We distribute tablets to all of our volunteers so that they can connect with the people that they serve in addition to connecting with us. So it was a lot of components that helped us transition during that time. And we still utilize those services. We still offer it virtually. Of course, you know, everybody loves in-person more. But we still have those capabilities because we do our tech services, tech talk, monthly tech talk via Zoom on a webinar. So we still have that. And anytime we need to have additional trainings, we do it on Zoom. So the volunteers still get training and still get their skills to be developed, because they know at any given time we might have to transition to using Teams or using Zoom or any type of online tool, really. And especially now with working with you and working with other organizations, we are really integrating more tech into our services.
Yep. And I've talked offline with you. There's these things, so I call it a four-letter word called AI.
Yes.
if it's used properly, safely, securely, I don't have a problem with it. And yeah, we're getting inquiries from seniors on how that works. So another topic for another day. So we're down to the last few minutes, Grecia. And as we record this podcast, there's a lot going on with the administration, with the White House when it comes to funding, nonprofits. There's a lot of talk, a lot of chatter. We don't have time for that. So right. What I'm going to ask you to do is kind of boil this down for all the things that Sophia does for a lot of different age groups. What do you all need? Because this is crucial right now. We're at the point where we are not sure. You mentioned AmeriCorps as one of them where you get funding. All this could be frozen. It could continue to work. We don't know. So tell us today what Sophia needs to sustain, support our seniors and our youngsters and the whole community.
All right. So the different ways that you can support Sophia. So if you may not be aware, this month is Older Americans Month. So we have three ways that you can participate in supporting an older American in your life or an older adult volunteer that is working with us is through our events. So one event that we have coming up is May 20th, which is called Sophia's Got Talent. It's May 20th at 6 p.m. and it will be at the Dania Beach Improv at Dania Point, if you all are familiar with that. So this event is going to showcase our volunteers in a different light. Normally we will do a luncheon to celebrate their work, but now we're doing something fun. Doing a talent show. So it will be our volunteers who will be showcased, their friends and family, potentially a board member. So if you know any of our board members, maybe they might participate, and some community partners. It's really a way for us to highlight their talents in a different capacity other than just giving an award and doing a ceremony. And it's a fun way for us to socialize. We'll be in a comedy club. There will be a comedian, so we'll have some time for laughs and, of course, a time for donation. This is a cause, obviously, for making sure that our services remain in the community. I want to be clear on that, you know, this is an appeal for us to continue providing services. So whether it is our companionship and respite services to frail individuals and for caregivers, our tutoring and mentoring services, our supportive services to veterans, as well as our technology programs, this is what the fundraiser is for. All of the proceeds are going directly to those services so that we don't lose that. That would be 300 volunteers that would not be participating anymore and nearly 2,000 individuals who wouldn't receive a service. And that's about 130,000 hours of service that people wouldn't receive. So please, come on out. You can go on our website, which I know we'll have included in here, in order to donate or to participate and get a ticket. At the event, we'll also have an auction. So we'll have an art auction where community partners, artists in the community have graciously donated their work in order for us to auction it for a good cause. We will also have raffles. People love raffles because they want to get some gifts and prizes. So we will have that as well, too. And again, just a fun time to spend with each other. So May 20th. At 6 p.m. at the Dania Beach Improv, a night filled with fun and comedy and talent, as well as art and raffles. And then the last way that you can participate in supporting us, become a volunteer. We always need volunteers. We know how desperate people need support and they don't have the funds to cover the cost of how they need help. So our programs are at no cost. And so the way that we do that is through your volunteerism. Or if you're a community partner and you want to work with us on a project in order to meet the needs of the community, we're open to that too. So those are the ways that you can support us through our event and by becoming a volunteer. So we definitely need it, and we appreciate it from you all if you can support us.
Nicely said, Krisha. I've got about a minute left. How do people reach Sophia, website, phone number, email, etc.?
So our website is www.thesophia, so S-O-F as in Frank, I-A.org. And you can go to our donate page by putting /donate. You can call us at 954-484-7117. And you can email us at info, so I-N-F-O, at thesophia.org. So please remember to put the, because if you only put Sophia, we won't get it. So those are the ways that you can reach us.
And I thank you for your time, Krisha. Did we miss anything?
Nope. I think we got everything covered. So all just right. Looking forward to everyone's support.
So everybody get ready. Watch your social media, because I know thesophia.org, right? That's how you do it. Is out on, what is it, LinkedIn?
So we're on LinkedIn. Uh-huh. We're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram. So okay. You can look for our full name, South Florida Institute on Aging, or you could put thesophia.org on any of our platforms and you'll find us.
Splendid. Once again, thank you, Krisha, for your time. Everybody get ready. We're going to have a fun event in just a few weeks, but we do need your donations today. So don't wait on that. If you have something you want to donate, go to the donate site. You've heard all about it, and we'll be seeing you shortly. Thanks, everybody.
This podcast was powered by Dex Imaging.
If you would like to sponsor the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me, David N. Reese, and the number is 954-658-2196. Once again, 954-658-2196. Or feel free to email me at David N. Reese, that's spelled DavidNReece, at email.com. See you next time.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.